Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
Don't mind if I do, disembodied voice of Lachlan. How's it going, everyone? It's the 95 BFM Small Top 10, and I am joined this evening by the lovely Joel. Joel, how are you?
I am doing quite well.
Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
About myself?
Yeah.
My name is Joel. I'm 24 years old. I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. And I used to be a bit of a BFM. I did some new stuff. Did The Wire a bit. Covered a couple shows.
Yeah.
Now I'm just hanging out. I went to Berlin for 2 years. And now I'm just back for... My dad got married. Came back for that.
Wholesome.
Wholesome, yes. And now I'm having a wholesome time with Amelia in studio.
Wonderful. So would you like to introduce the topic of your small top 10 tonight? I'm very excited for this one.
I don't think you should be.
It's a list that I don't think anyone else could do.
No, most people probably couldn't. So my list is my top 10 injuries that I've had. Because
when you said, should I do top 10 injuries? I thought you just meant like in general. And I was alligator bite, that's a good one. Hand caught in a regurgitator.
That could have been better, actually. It could have been less egotistical, perhaps.
I don't know if the few years older I am than you is going to mean that you don't remember this, but in the 90s, there were lots of like edgy I'm only like 10 years old. In the 90s, there were lots of like edgy magazines. My brother used to buy these magazines and they'd be like,
Crash
whoa,
magazine.
There's weed in this magazine. And
okay,
also, here's a whole lot of gore photos.
Oh,
and they would
God.
Just be like, look at this guy who got impaled on a fence post.
Did they publish that?
Yeah, it was like edgy alternative magazines.
That makes me really upset.
Yeah, I can't believe I looked at those before I was 10 years old. Anyway, should we can. So you were going to say the reason that you decided to do your top 10 injuries that happened to you is?
So I'm not a very interesting person. Not many interesting things happen to me, which
True.
Is why I'm talking. Oh, thank you. Why I'm talking about injuries. When I was a child, I was diagnosed with coordination dyspraxia, which essentially means that I
medically
had
unco.
Medically uncoordinated. I never got my pen license because I couldn't figure out how to like move my hand in a way that looked like nice letters.
Oh, I feel bad for laughing now.
Yeah. No, it was a source of trauma. But I'm leaving the trauma out of this because I was also bullied quite hard and I had some injuries from that. But I'm gonna leave that out for.
We're reclaiming
injuries so that they're only self-inflicted, not inflicted by others.
Oh. It is the emo episode. All right, should we get in for number 10?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
10.
So number 10 is once I knocked a ceramic clock that was hanging on a wall. I was maybe around 12 years old.
Describe the clock to me. I want to know about the clock. Ceramic?
It was one of those paint the earth clocks. So
okay,
I think my
beautiful.
Sister had painted it and it was green and it had butterflies on it.
Gorgeous,
so
gorgeous.
I ruined a butterfly, but also on its descent, it shattered into many pieces and one ended up in my leg and I required 4 stitches, I think.
Wow.
So that's my number 10 injury.
That's really pretty gnarly. I've never really had any major injuries. I've never broken a bone. I've never had stitches. Broken a few teeth.
I'm disgusted.
But like, yeah, stitches seem so gnarly to me. I watched, because I'm a terrible person, one of those, you know when you're scrolling down Facebook and those videos come up that are like, watch this person build
Why
a clay
are you so
thing.
Into yuck things.
I'm bad. And it was they were forging an axe. And the video was cool. It was like, watch this person
oh,
forge
that's not
an axe
that's
from
no
nothing.
Yuck thing.
But at one point, they cut themselves with the axe accidentally. And there was this long digression where it was like, this person started getting stitches. It was very upsetting.
And they just showed you that instead of focusing on that. I feel like that's something they should cut out.
I got tricked into watching that and I feel really bad about it.
Cool.
But so what is getting stitches like? Is it terrible?
It's terrible to get them in. Because like you got like this, what's it called? It makes you numb. What's it called?
Anesthetic.
Anesthetic, not prosthetic. That's when you have something that's not
fake
your
limb.
Actual. Limb.
Yeah.
And so like you can feel the things being pulled through your skin, but like it doesn't hurt. You can just feel it. But when it gets removed, it actually kind of feels kind of nice. It's like Yes.
Okay, I'm going to file that one under questions I regret asking. All right, and number nine.
So this one kind of came with some hurt pride as well. I think that there was injury. So I was a very good swimmer when I was young. I wasn't very good at ball sports. It took a while for me to get good at coordination sports. But I was always very big. So my feet were big and my arms were big and I could propel myself through the water.
You're a very long person. I hope you don't mind me mentioning.
No, I'm quite long.
Yeah.
But the problem is I also hit puberty quite late. And so when I was a very good swimmer, I eventually got leveled out by all these other kids that got muscles and got big also. But I was like being quite cocky at school because I was like, yeah, I'm going to win the swimming contest. And then I came to the first race and I lost dastardly. And I sort of like hit my leg as I had flipped around. And so I kind of pretended that I'd really, really, really damaged it and couldn't do the rest of
it. So this is a fake injury.
Well, yeah, it was a mild injury that I blew out of proportion.
So you were doing, I believe the correct terminology, I used to be a swim teacher, a tumble turn.
I was doing a tumble turn.
A tumble turn. And then you totally axed yourself and you were like, oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't show you that I'm better swimmer than you. Cause
maybe you should have been a soccer player.
I was a good goalkeeper.
Soccer players.
Okay. Okay, I did play some soccer after that, and I was quite good. I won an award once for being a good goalkeeper because my coordination got better a bit.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Did you fake many more injuries?
Probably not. Maybe for attention once or twice when I was even younger, but probably not. It just became a thing. I just got used to it, you know? I just got used to the... I didn't get much attention from some people in my life, so maybe it helped.
I feel like we're building a very deep psychological profile this evening. Number eight.
So I was also quite a tubby kid when I was young, and I was very slow.
We're processing some trauma.
I didn't realize how much this would dig into things, but I never really got to like win at tag. But once there was this one kid who was a bit slower than me, and I was like, I am gonna get you, I'm gonna tag you, and I like stuck my arm out real hard and like swung around, and then I smacked it into I was running on like a deck, and then there was like a wooden like beam holding the deck up, and I smacked my hand into it and I broke all five fingers. And I didn't get to tag the person who was slower than me.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I'm really taken aback by this whole situation. It's so dark.
I think this is perhaps why I'm such a like anxious and quite like I require lots of like preventative measures before I enter a space.
I mean, remind me not to play you at tag.
I'll get because if I now know that I can win, I think I'm overly competitive now because I'm like making up for all of my. So yeah, I'll probably accidentally injure you.
All right, seven.
This is also a part of being a slightly tubby kid, and I don't mean to body shame or anything because there's nothing wrong with that. It's just meant that the break.
Just talking about your own experience.
Yeah, my own experience, and so I went to year eight camp. And it was like somewhere in like South Auckland on the way to Pukekohe, and there were these like trolley things that went downhill, but they didn't have brakes, and the way that you stopped them was by turning.
Okay.
And that the momentum just slowed you down.
Old school.
Very old school. I went down quite fast because of my long and wide body, and then I sort of flipped at the end of it, and I knocked myself out, and it was actually quite devastating. It sort of took months and months of recovery.
Was it like a concussion or something?
Yeah, I had post-concussion syndrome, and it would be very easy to get re-concussed. So like I was like constantly just like staying, and you can't do much when you have like post-concussion syndrome. You just have to stay at home, and like you're not really supposed to like use screens or anything, so you just sort of have to stay in a dark room and avoid stimulus.
At the start of the show, I joked that this was going to be a small top 10 about pain, and I really didn't realize the extent to which that was true. Okay, six.
Six.
I feel like I need to give you a hug.
Oh,
like,
no, it's okay.
This is so gnarly.
This is all processed.
I was expecting it all to be like, I fell off my skateboard doing a gnarly trick. And you then think everyone I can thought skate? I was super cool.
You think I can skate, Amelia? Okay, so number six. I feel like this should have been earlier on, actually. It's not as bad as it, but I sort of wanted to clump the Albo things together because there's another Albo.
Okay.
There's actually two other Albo things coming up. But once I think I was just playing some sort of like dumb ball game with some friends or something, and I got like knocked in the Albo, and for some reason it like hit some sort of nerve or something.
It literally struck a nerve,
and I got like really dizzy and like passed out.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Your button. Yeah, you're like, do not press this button.
Yeah, they pushed the button. Yeah.
good solid Sugar Babes reference there for people who were like, it's not enough sex in this small top 10.
Was that a song about sex?
Yeah, push the button and let me know. You gotta loose the freak that I control.
Ah, okay. I never got that. I never actually understood the last lyrics. I never heard them.
You gotta push the button for me, boy.
I thought it was more about just like showing your interest, but no, it's not about sex.
It's about doing a sex. Oh, anyway, okay. Sorry. So they pushed your button.
Yeah.
But not your nice button, your bad button.
My bad button. And I passed out. Moving on to the next one, perhaps.
Wait, no, it's all music right. time. We're gonna take a quick break.
Good. Thank you. That's too many injuries.
I'm
sorry. Is that enough? Can we just cut it there?
No. We'll be back, but the people need a little second to recover.
Enjoy.
Number five.
Your number five tonight is Macho Macho with Blue People.
We'll be right back.
It's 95BFM. This is the top 10, and it is... Yeah, it's the small top 10. What's up? We're talking to Joel about Joel's history of physical and psychological trauma. Joel, how's it going?
Welcome to Jeremy Kyle. Thank you.
We're actually counting down Joel's top 10 injuries, which I really assumed was going to be way more about skateboarding, and I don't know why, because I'm not a skateboarder, but I just kind of, I don't know, my mind filled in the gaps. You know when you see the picture of the person about to step on a banana peel and then them falling over, and if someone asks you what happened, you'll say they slipped on a banana peel because your mind fills in the gaps? That happened, but with skateboards. Anyway, we are up to number 5. You ready, Joel?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
5.
So number 5 is the only time I ever went to the South Island, actually. I haven't been to the South Island
it's
many
beautiful.
Times.
It's beautiful. Honestly, it's so beautiful down there. You've got to go.
Yeah, in Germany, like, everyone I meet, like, tells me, oh my God, you're from New Zealand. I backpacked there for a year, and I, like, went to all these places. I'm like, cool, I haven't been to any of these
people
places.
From Germany love going to New Zealand.
I do.
So, one of the... not to be like, I've been to Germany, but I went to Germany one time, and there was a German person in the hostel, and they were complaining about how... all of the other people in the hostel were also from Germany, and why don't they go somewhere proper for their holiday? And they're like, it's okay for me, I'm a motorcycler. I motorcycle around. They should just fly somewhere. Anyway, so you went to the South Island. There were probably Germans there. It was a wonderful time. There were mountains and streams.
Yeah, so it was my first day there. I'd recently just got a scooter. I was quite young.
Finally, the content that I've been craving.
No, it's really not.
Okay.
And I was just like enjoying having wheels and like not being bound to my bodily limbs.
Yeah.
And I was at an intersection, and I was like, okay, well, I can't move, so I may as well just stand on the scooter and see what happens. And
Rocky
I tried to balance on the scooter, and I fell off and broke my elbow and couldn't go skiing.
They
or
hit
anything.
The bad button again.
Yeah, they hit the bad button.
So I have a question about the logistics of the story. Well, why did you bring a scooter to the South Island?
I don't know. I think my mum just wanted us to be happy, me and my sister. So she was like, well, we got room and carry on. You know, they fall.
Well, that makes me feel bad for asking. Why did you do it? Well, my mother just wanted me to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Why does anyone do anything, I guess?
Be happy.
It's a beautiful story. All right, number 4.
4.
So number 4 is related to number 5, and that I went to the doctors after doing this, and I had like a big lump in my elbow. Like, you could see the bone. Like, you couldn't see the bone, but you could see the bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not through the skin, but it was there. And the doctor was like, gave me an x-ray, and he's like, yeah, nah, mate, it's not broken. You're fine. Just chuck in a sling for a few days and you'll be right.
Was the doctor Australian?
Kiwi accent. Maybe he's Australian. Sorry.
That was such a casual doctor. I love it. It's like surfing
doctor.
Yeah,
he was very casual. He probably called me dude at least twice.
Hey, dude, I don't reckon it's broken, good. Eh?
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oh, well, how come I can't feel my hand? And he was like, oh, it's just swelling, mate. And so I was like, okay.
All good, bro.
And my mom is a nurse, and she was like, no, that's broken, Joe. That's broken. It's not right. And I was like, yeah, well, what are you gonna do? And she was like, yeah, right. And so
she was like, I just want you to be happy.
Yeah, I just want you to scooter away. And so we left, and it took like a couple of weeks. I was just hanging out, couldn't go skiing or anything because my arm was fucked, damaged. And then a couple of weeks later, the doctor called, and he was like, oh yeah, just looked over your x-rays again, and your arm's broken, eh?
He must have been thinking about it. He must have been sitting there
like,
being
Well,
I was raw out of it the other day when I was talking to that scooter kid.
Scooter
like,
kid.
Maybe I should look at the x-rays again. Like, I missed that gap. The gap in the x-ray.
The bit where the elbow is sticking out.
That's so wild to me that it was like, he was like, oh no, I made him, I'm so sorry.
So I had to go back and get it rebroken because it had obviously started setting.
Oh no.
Again. So that's my number four.
How did they break it?
Just give it a tug, really.
Okay.
Give it a yank.
Three.
I don't want to hear anything else about elbows, please.
Okay. No. The next one's about quads.
Quads. I don't even really know what that is. I know it's a muscle.
It's the muscle that goes from like your hip down to your knee. It's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest muscle in your body.
I thought the gluteus maximus was the biggest muscle in your body.
Well, then one of the
That's
biggest.
That's the one thing I learned from Harold the Giraffe. So you broke your quad?
No, you can't break a muscle,
right,
really.
Sorry.
I guess you can tear one.
I'll stop getting it. Just tell the story from the beginning.
So from the beginning, something you may not know about me, and it's something I'm kind of embarrassed about, but also like I'm sort of like not, is I used to play tournament paintball.
Sick! So cool! This is the content that I was looking for!
Yeah.
Scootering. Skiing. Tournament paintball?
Yeah, I was quite good. I was like in like one of the top teams in New Zealand. I represented New Zealand overseas even. But it's not what you think.
What is the New Zealand paintball team called? No?
That's on par with like the Black Cocks. No. the badminton team. Anyway, I think we're just called New Zealand. Like it was like part of like another team.
That's
there,
also
there was like
fun.
a national championship as well, like going on in the same tournament. Anyway, so I was just like with a mate before the tournament. You like walk the field and see how you can play it before the tournament starts. And we were like, oh, who's faster? And I was like, me. And he was like, nah, me. And then we sprinted, and I felt like a little pang in my leg, and I was like, nah, it's fine. And then the next day I started the tournament, and I was like, oh, my leg's real sore. And there's this guy who was like, he was Russian on my team. And he was like, oh, I've got these painkillers from Russia. just take them.
And just take the pill.
And I was chomping them down.
Nice prelude to your billet experience, I'm sure.
No. Okay. So I started chomping down on these painkilling pills. Because this is the point where I was like quite competitive. I was like finally good at something. And I was like, oh, I gotta win, gotta win.
Another tale of machismo and hubris.
I don't know what that means.
It's fine. We're going to keep telling the story.
And so, like, over the weekend, I just, like, keep chomping down these. And I felt it, but, like it's kind of like when you get your stitches pulled out, you feel it, like, pull, but you don't feel. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've just pulled it. It's not so bad.
Okay.
And then by the end of it, it was, like, every single game. But we won, so that was good. We won. There was, like, a decent prize, some money and all that. And then the next day, I, like, tried to get out of bed, and I couldn't walk. And I went to the doctors, and he was like, yeah, nah, mate, you've, like, got like a 30 centimeter tear in your quad, which is like one of the biggest he's like ever seen. So I actually wrote their master's thesis about it.
They wrote their master's thesis about the tear in your quad.
Yeah.
That's so gnarly.
Yeah, it was a long recovery with lots and lots of like re-tears and stuff. And like, I still feel it occasionally. Like, because like the nerves are mangled. And if I like bend my neck, it like pulls the nerves in a weird way. And it like, you feel, yeah, anyway.
To quote the text that we've just received,
oh, God.
This is fucking wild.
Oh, I'm glad.
For the record, machismo is like masculine pride, and hubris is like, it's like believing that you're the best at something to the point of tragedy and like failing at it. Anyway, let's move on. Are we up to number two?
Yeah.
Two.
So this one isn't so bad injury-wise, but it's another like quite embarrassing one. So I was probably like 7 and it was my birthday. And I was going to...
There's such a kind of like... I can imagine all of these with like French piano music. Like...
Yeah, black and white. Grainy film and rain. I was going to Valentine's for my birthday for dinner.
Beautiful.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
And my parents were always like, yeah, let's go to Valentine's. And I was like, yeah, but I think maybe just because it's free.
And because your mother just wanted you to be happy.
Just wanted me to be happy. I was in the shower and I found like the razor in the shower, and I was like, oh, this is an interesting... tool.
God.
And so I sort of played with it for a bit, and I I like took a tiny bit of my like eyebrow hair off, and I was like, that's interesting. And I tried to,
Try
and balance it out now that I've taken a bit off. Well, I just never played with it. It was just like an interesting like thing, adult thing that made me feel like an adult.
The idea of a 7-year-old child shaving at their face with a razor is giving me such pain in my soul. Please tell me what happened next.
So I tried to balance it out, but I accidentally like took the whole thing off, like my whole eyebrow. And then I was like, oh shit, what do I do? And then I was like, well, I better just take the other one off. So I went and took the other one off as well, but I like nicked a bit, got a bit of blood, you know, a bit yuck. But that's like the extent of the injury. It wasn't so bad, but like, again, like another emotional
difficulty I had to go through. Yeah, I imagine shaving your eyebrows off kind of stuck with you for a little while, eh?
And then, so I got out of the shower.
Was that around the period of time when Nick from Shortland Street also shaved his eyebrows? And it was like a big storyline.
Well, I was probably too young to watch it, weren't you?
I think that would have been about the right time, actually.
With your extra 2 years maturity, I'm sure you could experience these things that I couldn't. I only started watching about the time Joey Henderson started like killing all these people.
Oh, and
I
was
like,
that was the good stuff.
Yeah, and I was very sad that it was Joey.
Sarah. Anyway.
So yeah, my mom was like, what happened? And I was like, oh yeah, the razor fell down and cut my eyebrow off. And then she was like, well, what happened to the other one? And I was like, well, I put it back up and it fell back down again and cut my other eyebrow off. And then I had to sit at Valentine's eating sadly while everyone was looking at me. That's my
mom. Oh, that sounds like the worst birthday ever.
Yeah, but it was free food.
Wow, okay. And on that bummer note, before we get to number one, do you have anything to plug?
To plug? Oh, yes, I do have something to plug. So I play in a band called No Sky, and we used to play like quite a few gigs.
I believe you had some songs in the 95 BFM top 10.
I think we got to number one a few times, maybe a number two that I was sad about, but also happy. You know,
it's like shaving one eyebrow.
Yeah.
You always wonder what could have been.
Get what you want. And so I am playing with my band No Sky this tomorrow.
Tomorrow at the Wine Cellar, right?
The Wine Cellar, and we are going to be accompanied by Baby Girl playing some sad emo hip hop, and by Lucky Boy playing some jangly pop tunes.
It's going to be really mint. I reckon you should head along to that.
Yeah, so it's $5 unwedged, $10 wedged, and doors are at 8:30.
Sick. Well, I'll probably see you there. Unless you've got anything else you're desperate to plug.
No.
All right, sick. Number one.
Number one. So I was 4 years old. I was at...
The childhood ones really get me. Well,
pretty much all childhood ones, really. This is when I was like peak dyspraxia. This isn't so dyspraxic, though.
I'm glad every time you say dyspraxic, I feel like less of a wanker for saying machismo earlier.
What are you trying to say about me saying this word, Amelia?
I'm just saying it makes me feel
I'm just trying to open up here, and you're subtly calling me a wanker.
I am. Okay, no, let's keep going with this story. We can hash this out afterwards.
Okay, good. Off air. So this is like less dyspraxic, more of a fantasy based injury.
Fantasy injury.
Yeah, and that I was at McDonald's, which I didn't really get to go to often as a kid because my mom was a nurse, my dad was a paramedic, and they're very like health orientated, which is kind of
very fair,
fortunate for my circumstance. I really wanted to climb Ronald McDonald. You know how they used to have those statues of him, and you're sitting on the chair,
big fiberglass,
his arm was out, so it could be like around you. Which I guess some people found comforting. But I didn't, because I obviously wanted to get higher up than under his creepy wingspan.
Yeah.
And I thought I could fly. I was like, you know what? I can jump off Ronald McDonald and I can fly. And I still have this memory in my head that's like, nah, man, you can't do that. You can't fly. What are you talking about? But I was like, nah, just give it a go, eh? So I tried to jump off him and thought I could fly, but I could not fly. And I cut my chin open. And I asked my mom today, because I was like researching for this. I was like, mom, can you tell me how many stitches I got? I don't know why I sound like that now, because this is what I sound like.
Yeah. Anyway. Mom, can I?
Yeah. And she was like, 7 stitches in your chin. So I had 7 stitches in my chin as a 4-year-old, because I thought I could fly off Ronald McDonald.
That must have been traumatic for every child there, like in the ball pit, just seeing jump off and fall flat on their face, and then it's like they're just covered in blood.
Imagine being an employee there. Like, imagine seeing that.
I bet for the employees that happened all the time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'd hate to hear what sort of playground accidents happen at McDonald's.
What a wonderful and terrible list. I feel broken, but I also had a great time. Would you like to introduce the song that you've chosen to play us out?
The song I have chosen is Cross-Eyed and Painless by The Talking Heads.
Something we can all aim for.
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.